So my lesson's on Thomas, the Apostle Thomas. So what do you guys think of when you think of the Apostle Thomas? Doubting Thomas, but no doubt. And which is probably unfortunate for him, because he just happened to not be there, right, with the other apostles. So, and you know, some of the other apostles, had they not been there, they might have felt the same way. So that's no doubt what he's known for is being doubting. And I was looking through all the scriptures that mention Thomas, and I think at least five passages that mention Thomas just mention him in a list, either a list of the full 12 or a partial list. I think there's one that lists about half the apostles, and he's in that list, or three or four. But other than that, there's only three passages where he's mentioned. And the first one is in John chapter 11. And I guess I'll try. Starting, well, the passage, verse itself is 16. And this is when Lazarus was dead. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us all go, so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So maybe we should think of Thomas's, maybe loyal Thomas. And because, you know, he was ready to die for Jesus. It's also interesting that Thomas was very much aware at this point that going to Jerusalem was going to be dangerous for them. I guess at different parts of the scripture, it's hard to get that sense. At least for me, you know, at what time, what places are they really kind of in danger, and at what times they're really not. But here, Thomas is fully aware that going to Jerusalem, or I guess Bethany even, which I guess is right outside of Jerusalem, would be a dangerous thing to do. So that's one verse. Okay, and the second one is in chapter 14, and this is the, I'd start reading verse 1. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I'm going, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And I'll read two more. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" So that's very interesting that the verse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," that verse is Jesus spoke that in response to a question from Thomas. So very, I guess, to me, one of the very famous verses of the Bible was directed toward Thomas. And I guess a side note here, I remember we had a Bible bowl on the book of John, and these two passages, one for Philip and the one for Thomas, and and I told him how to tell the difference. And Thomas, I told him, when you say Thomas, the way, you know, they both begin with T. And for us, and then let's see, what does Philip say? Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." We think, Philip, for us, Thomas, the way. So I kind of... So they have the F sound and the T sound. Kind of remember how they go. Okay, and then I guess we go to chapter 20. And this is the big one. Okay, I'll start reading verse 9. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the Jews were shut. I guess before we read this, anybody have any comments? Any comments before we get further? Okay. Chapter 20, verse 19 and following. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins will be forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they will be retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and imprint on the nails, and put a finger in the place of his nails, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them said, "Jesus came with the door shut and stood in their midst." I guess I'm not. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here in your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who do not see and believe." Okay, so I guess one interesting thing is Thomas was also called Didymus. Does anybody want to know what Didymus means?
Twin.
Twin, yeah. Yeah, so that's cool. So Thomas was probably a twin. That's pretty, I just think twins are cool. It's interesting, the last congregation we attended, one of the preachers and the preacher's wife, okay, so like I guess the youth preacher and the main preacher's wife, they were twins. So I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know. let's see. So, and I got to be thinking about this, and I thought, you know, it was, could Thomas really be an apostle if he had not seen the risen Lord? If he had not, if he were just going on hearsay? Or was it, or was it very important that he be a true witness of the risen Lord so he could go out and preach the gospel? I mean, in my opinion, I was thinking, you know, it's very important that Thomas had that chance to actually witness the risen Lord. So he could be a witness. And it's been a while, but I think that he was a very good witness because I think by tradition, he went to India and was possibly skinned alive. So I think it was very important that he got to be that witness. Okay, and I guess do you have any comments? I mean, it's kind of winding down here. I mean, otherwise it would have been just hearsay for him.
Paul makes that point in 1 Corinthians 15 when he's talking about the gospel. And he goes after he explains what it is. He says, and Jesus was witnessed by Peter and by the 12, and he goes to all that. Part of that, you know, was that it. And another thing at this point, I know Jesus says in verse 22, receive the Holy Spirit. They're going to, they haven't even done that yet. So what he promised them in chapter 16 hadn't even happened yet. So they haven't got to the point where, like, on the day of Pentecost, when they're going to receive that. So really all they have is one another, what Jesus taught them at that point.
Yeah. I was thinking back through my life, and then I remember when I was a child, when my uncle died. You know, my father, he had to go see, you know. He hadn't accepted it until. I think in my life, I think I can remember two things for me. And one was when, you know, I couldn't accept somebody else's word. I had to at least see it on the news. Was when Admiral Borda shot himself. I don't know if y'all remember, that's maybe no big deal to you guys, but well, he committed suicide. I think he shot himself. But anyway, I mean, to me, I mean, being in the Navy at the time, I mean, he was like you know, he was like a big time. hero for everybody, because he started out at the bottom and went clear to the top. I'm sorry. And I guess another time was 9/11. I at least had to come home and see it on TV before I could believe it. So I guess those are two times in my life I just couldn't accept hearsay. Or, you know, even though they were hearsay, technically, and because even that could have been faked, right? I mean, but at least got to see it on the news, you know, at least see the films of the buildings falling. And seen it confirmed. They're just like anybody else. It's hearsay, unless he.
They would not have had the well, they wouldn't have had the eyewitness account.
Yeah.
As Brian mentioned, as later, it would have to be with Paul also.
Yeah, saw him on the wall.
He saw too, or he wouldn't have been as effective with the people.
Yeah. Yeah, I work for a place that for a few years, and they had an office in the World Trade Center. And I mean, their office was in Memphis, but they had a conference call going on, and it went dead. That would be.
About this moment in his life. And I imagine
Yeah, and I mean, and in his case, he must have always had a soft heart. Otherwise, he wouldn't have. I mean.
He had zeal for what
he did. Yeah. I mean, I don't think. I mean. Yeah. I mean, because I read about, I think there's a place in the Old Testament where somebody's hand was withered and then it was cured, and he still, the next thing it was just like blaspheming against God. You know, you just witnessed this major miracle, and you're still gonna, go against God. And then I think in the book of John. Right after that, the passage where Lazarus is healed, you would think that, everybody would believe, you'd think, wow, Lazarus is raised from the dead, that's great, and you read where, that some of the Jews were planning to kill Lazarus. You're just like, what? How can your heart be so hard? I mean, I know my heart's hard sometimes, but, my goodness. And there's just passages like that where it's just, man, some people's hearts are just so hard that it's, just unreal. But, I mean, we kind of run into it today. I mean, if you're out trying to teach people and they've been taught different things, and, I mean, some of it's just lunacy. Just lunacy, and they just, and they're never going to accept it. I mean, it seems, because their hearts are so hard. I remember right after I became a Christian, I found out about Utah campaigns. I thought, yeah, that's it. We're going to go to Utah and we're going to convert all these Mormons. No, you're not. I mean, we had some good stuff to happen, but you're not going to go out there and change them as a whole. No way. Go ahead.
I think you did a good job of bringing that in the message. Talk about we, the world, have put a title on Thomas, Doubting Thomas. That is not the only time he's mentioned in the Bible. We have just put that title on.
Yeah. Very loyal. Very. We should think of.
You said his question prompted the answer out of the way.
Yeah, and he was willing to die for Jesus. Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think what Jonah, he ran away and thinking, well, would any of us want to go preach to ISIS? I mean, it's the same area, right? It's like, Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'd. I don't know, maybe they're defeated now. Maybe they'd be a little more receptive. But yeah, it's just, yeah. But in his case, he was like, he knew that he apparently had some inclination that they were going to be receptive, and that's why he didn't want to go. So it's kind of a little different. But I don't know. Just have to do some soul searching, thinking about, reaching out. Does anybody else have any comments? Thank you.